Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. That was a bit of Sea of Glass by Tom Middleton. Welcome to the program. All that are joining via chat, those listening via Cosmic Dimensions, and welcome to all of you listening via iTunes and the other archives. I'm your host and co-pilot, Michelle Mache, and I hope this Friday is flowing for you wonderfully. So for those that it applies, happy Passover. Those that applies, happy Good Friday. Those that applies, just have a wonderful day. I hope everything is in a great flow for all of you. Those of you that might be new or just perhaps tuning in or surfing into Awakenings, Awakenings is a live internet talk radio program that focuses on grounding the spiritual process of awakening. We explore the challenges in this process and offer a bit of advice, suggestions, guidance, insight, and wisdom. And basically, we share the unfolding that either our guests or our listener participants have gone through. It's really a focus about sharing and relaying useful information, and most importantly, connecting, keeping that connection going and growing and being a sense of support. So we have conscious interviews, I like to call them inner views, where we look within with all types of people from all walks of life, from visionaries, progressive thinkers, metaphysicians, scientists, artists, musicians, healers, people from all walks of life that are awake, aware, or awakening and want to take this awakened state into their everyday lives. The key here is really in the awakening is then to begin to do something with this new state of consciousness or awareness, and then we could say this state of consciousness of awareness of being more you, actually. And so we really focus on that by useful tools, insight, inspiration, wisdom, and empowerment tools, whether from some of our listener participants or guests, myself included sometimes, as a host. So really want to be a place, a resource, and not just a resource in a mental way, in an intellectual way, but a resource that you will get here, tools that you can actually use in your life that actually are very beneficial for you, tools that really will make a difference in your life. And I say listener participants because the people that are listening are also participating. So we're all holding this together, this sacred space. This is a continual co-creation, Awakenings is, Awakenings Radio. It really is a continual co-creation by each and every one of us, by the emails that I receive, the guest feedback, by the guests, by those that are in the sacred space of empowerment, also known as chat room, that are holding that space as well. And you can get some other wonderful information also in the chat room. Now, guests, welcome guests that are coming in the chat right now. If you would like to interact in the chat room, all you need to do is register through Blog Talk Radio. But you can listen as a guest, and you can also just click to listen on the Awakenings page. Some want to be in the chat room, some want to just click to listen, however you want to listen. But if you would like to ask questions from the chat room, you just need to either sign in or log in or sign up, which is just with your a name and an email, and that will get you signed up and you can interact in the chat room. Those of you that like to listen by phone, the number is 347-539-5122. And again, that's 347-539-5122. And if you press 1 on the keypad, then I know that you have a question or you just want to be heard. And we love hearing the voice. We love hearing people's comments and feedback. So that would be great if you would do that as well. Also, if you would also like to be on the email newsletter, receive information, or we have been doing a I don't know if I want to call it contest. I'm not sure of the name. If someone comes up with the name, but it started out as a contest, but now everyone will get a gift, a token of appreciation. But here on Awakenings, we're doing how and where do you listen to Awakenings? And I've been getting some wonderful emails from many, many people, and I've been reading them throughout the week when we're on air. And I'm also at the end of the month when I do my segment solo, we'll be going over more in detail a lot of the questions and comments. But keep those coming, how and where you listen to Awakenings, and you will email us at awakenings@selfinlight.com, and that will get to me so that I can look at them or go over them. And also, if you want to be on the newsletter list or receive further information, again, at awakenings@selfinlight.com. And then the Awakenings Radio page that, thank you, Tammy, just put in the chat room. Awakenings Radio is on Facebook, and you can connect with us there as well. And some great videos some people have posted and some wonderful comments and insights. And believe me, I read them. You know, the Self and Light team, the Awakenings team reads them, but also I've gotten feedback that some of the things that are posted on the Awakenings Radio page on Facebook that have helped other people or given some inspiration or upliftment. So anybody, even guests, you know, anyone can post something there. It's really just a place for people to get further resources. I do want to just touch on one email that just came in yesterday, and in regards, and we'll just touch on it a little bit, because I didn't want to read it. I promised I would read it on air today. Asking about not being able to relax, and also that how to cope with other people's emotional baggage, how not to feel this, and especially in a work situation. As far as the relaxation, and as far as I feel coping with our own emotional issues or things come up, I feel it's just like brushing your teeth, eating good foods. You know, if you've had too much, you know, chocolate's great, but too much of anything is not great. You know, too much protein is not great. Too much, that you have to have a self-correcting or balancing mechanism. And for some people, that's meditation, prayer, contemplation. But I think if you look at yourself and your life, how you express, that you express spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and materially, those areas need to be touched on, you know, daily, weekly, to some degree. And you have to sometimes pull yourself out a little bit of your life. You have to take a little bit of a review and see, gosh, do I need to do a little bit of something here? You know, a little house cleaning, a little emotional cleaning. And keeping the emotional body very virulent, keeping it very clear, very vital, very viral, or virile, rather, through emotional clearing. You know, there's some techniques on my website, selfinlight.com, that you can download for free. You know, handling the emotional body, the physical body. What kinds of foods are you eating? Are you around people that are allowing more vitality, or are they detracting from you? Or are your thoughts bringing more vitality or less vitality? Is your circumstances, your life circumstances, your thoughts, your behavior patterns or eating patterns creating more life-enhancing situations or less life-enhancing situations? We don't even have to get into bad or good. It's not about that. It's about what's most life-enhancing. So I think if it just requires some vigilance or awareness, either way that you want to put it. It is about checking in with yourself and making sure, you know, do you have people that you can talk to relay situations to? Are you stuck? Is there something going on that's stuck? You know, acupressure, acupuncture, massage, various forms of healing, being outdoors, you know, walking meditation. So I feel it's good to have a lot of activities or routines or even certain books that bring you information or insight or inspiration that you can go to. Having those tools allows you to have more self-mastery, allows you not to get locked into ruts or stuck states. And actually our guest that we have on today can talk about about this. He's actually featured in a book called Peak Vitality, so that should say something there. And also the AIM program does deal with energetic balancing. So, you know, if we're out of balance, we are going to have certain symptoms. But those symptoms, it's not that it's something bad or negative. You know, there's negative and positive in the world. It's magnetic as well as electrical. That's a component of us. So I think if you're looking at things through the eyes of, is this life enhancing for me? Is this adding to my vitality? Is this bringing up my life force energy? If you just start asking those kinds of questions, then you can begin to see that you know, really. You know if you're doing something too much or not enough. You know if you're in the right direction or are you, is there an imbalance? You know, and again, the healing, we all talk about healing so much. Healing is bringing into balance. It comes from the old English word ohalen, which means wholeness. And wholeness comes from integrity, integris. So to bring those pieces together. Now, what's interesting is sometimes the pieces don't go together the way they used to go together because there's been a shift. So sometimes people are trying to cram pieces. Oh, I used to do this, or I used to eat this way, or I used to go here, and I always liked going here. But now there's something new. There's a life force energy moving through you as you that says, oh, let's go somewhere else or let's do something else. Let's have a different type of input in or insight or different type of information, which is light. And so you have to be aware. You have to have a practice that allows you to have that awareness that something new is coming in, something new is emerging through you as you, and in that newness, there might be a different decision. You know, maybe you always had orange juice, and now you want grapefruit juice, or you want grapefruit juice mixed with orange juice. If you're in that present moment, through some form of meditation practice or awareness practice, you're present to what is truly needed for the organism that is you, for all parts of you. So again, it goes back to having that awareness and operating from that awareness. Great, we had someone put in our guest, Stephen Lewis's website in the chat room, AIM program. Got a caller here to see what they want. Hello, 250-655, you're on Awakenings.
This is Stephen Lewis, Michelle.
Oh, hi, Stephen. I was thinking you were coming from a 702. Okay.
No, I'm not there right now. I am sure it is, but I'm not.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, let me just, we have some people that are aware of you, but I want to give a little bit of the background that you've actually been exploring energetic balancing for over 25 years. Your extensive studies and research have led you directly into the insights upon which EMC Squared Spiritual Energetic Balancing Technology is based. And this energetic balancing technology is called the AIM program. This program also has been seen to be very helpful with those with Down syndrome and autism condition. You also are the co-author of Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness. So welcome back to the program, Stephen.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, good. So something told me, pick up this line.
Well, my note said you may talk for about 10 minutes or so. So it was good. About 10 minutes even.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I had no reason to interrupt you.
Oh, wonderful. Well, it's so great to have you back on the program. I have even more questions than I had last time, and we actually had some people email in and say, when is he coming back? Because you always have such wonderful insight and information from a I guess perhaps more scientific point of view. Yeah, exactly. You do. And I don't remember where we left off, but I remember it was consciousness, light. It was just amazing.
We'll always leave off in the area of consciousness because that's what everything we know of really is. And they call it energy, but you know what? Who can deal with energy? I mean, Everything about energy can be summed up, as I think I may have told you, I can tell you everything there is that's known about energy in under 10 seconds.
Tell us.
Ready?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
It is. There.
Wow.
I was quick, wasn't it?
Yeah, energy it is.
I'm fast. Well, there's nothing else to say because it doesn't have any characteristic or property. It doesn't have a smell.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a taste. It doesn't have an appearance. It's not attractive. It's not ugly. It's not. It's nothing. It doesn't have a time. It doesn't have a space. It's a wave, and that is the wave of which we speak in quantum mechanics. But you and I and all of us live in a manifest, perceivable, particulate world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it all gets kind of strange. Because it's the opposite of what we were taught as kids. And in this sense, we create this particulate world. Individually, personally, and collectively by our consciousness. And that is the simple reason we can heal anything. Anything can be healed because we create life with consciousness. Healing takes place in consciousness. Once you have healed something within your consciousness, it cannot survive in your manifest material physical world because it is created by consciousness. That is the essence of the deeper thought in terms of physics our work, EMC squared. There are countless levels other than that. But very simply, that's what it comes down to.
So two things I want to clear up, because one is, where do we get then this good energy, bad energy? Because if energy
we create life with our consciousness for better or for worse. I mean, there is no point in being semantic and saying, I was joking around laughing with Michael Beckwith about this yesterday. You know, I mean, we had a program together. And it is no point in saying, this cancer is terrific, or this heart disease is great, or what? No, it's not. But the point is not that it's good. The point is that if you perceive this to be negative, you can heal it. You can heal it with consciousness. That's why healing is so different from diagnosis and treatment and curing. I mean, nothing bad to say about curing something, but curing comes from without. Healing comes from within and is only and can only be done by you. Because only you have your own consciousness. And healers are wonderful. It's most important people in our lives, but they're misnamed. Healers do not heal you. Healers, and by that I include you, Michelle, healers change your consciousness, and with that change, you are better able to and more readily able to heal yourself.
So it's the shift in consciousness that you're saying is facilitating the healing.
Consciousness is what creates everything about us. Healing occurs in consciousness. Once you have, let's take something common. Take the frequency of cancer. Once you heal that frequency in your consciousness, it is deprived. The cancer is, you create it. You don't like it, change it. That's the good news. The point is we are totally empowered. We are empowered to create in our lives and of our lives whatever we wish. But that's individually and collectively. Sometimes things must be dealt with collectively. But if we are empowered, then there's the other side of that coin. That means, very simply, we are, therefore, ergo, we are responsible. We're responsible for what we do.
Right, whether we realize it or not, right?
Well, what you realize and don't realize has to do with how conscious are you. I mean, if you're like me, there are things about your life that are absolutely apparent right now that a dozen years ago would have been an absolute mystery.
Yeah.
And that process probably will never change because you are here for only one reason, to become more and more and more. And that will never stop.
No, it goes. Now, we have Tammy in the chat room is asking, does consciousness create our vibrational frequency then?
Absolutely, yes.
Hmm. Okay.
That was easy. I love you.
That was good.
I rarely
get
this. No, terrific. Tammy, ask me some more questions.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely, yes. So it all goes back.
Give
it's
Tammy
predicated.
The show.
Yes, Tammy. Yeah, Tammy, come pick up the phone. So it all goes back to the consciousness. So then that's the more expanded the consciousness, then the higher or more expanded the frequency then.
Well, it's not a numeric thing. In that sense. I mean, you have to understand what consciousness is.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, in my work, consciousness is the degree to which you perceive your connection, your attachment, the fact that you are part of everything and everyone in the entire universe. And the degree to which you perceive it is the degree to which you are conscious. If you perceive, not mouth the words, that's easy. Perceive that you are connected to everything and everyone in the universe. You are, as we say, quantumly conscious. Or perhaps in a different realm, I mean, Michael Beckwith would say you are an ascended master. But we're all talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are many languages. The important thing is to know what we're talking about. And yeah, that's quantum consciousness. And conversely, of course, the degree to which you do not perceive your connection, your interaction with everything and anything, is the degree to which you are unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
so
it's independent of intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Speak of that,
bright,
because a lot of people have... I know, that's right. People can be very intelligent but not very conscious.
I know some simple people who certainly couldn't do very much in the way of, let's say, mathematics or any of these pure skills, who were incredibly conscious, who perceived their connection to everything.
Yeah.
I mean, look, let's face it. I may be a better mathematician than Jesus and Buddha rolled up into one on their best mathematical day, and yet I am so monumentally less than what they achieved, that there's no point even talking about us that way. It's not intelligence. Consciousness is everything.
Mm-hmm. You just answered something for me. Years ago, I lived in Europe and actually did a lot of esoteric study and training there, and I met some of the most amazingly conscious individuals that were simple villagers, you know, country people, but were just so evolved that it just, but you would put them, you know, in the mainstream world, and they just didn't, you know, some of them weren't even worried about computer, or, you know, anything like that, you know, computer illiterate, they didn't care, but their consciousness was so prevalent, was so advanced that, and it was palpable. You could just tell, you know, not even just by how they spoke, but just that connection, like you speak of, Stephen, to everything and everyone. Let me ask you also in this note, Stephen, that, and you say it's that connection to knowing that connection and feeling it and living from that place to everyone and everything. How does that tie into the idea of separation? A lot of times people say dis-ease is a form of separation or fragmentation.
Separation is the opposite of consciousness. Unconsciousness is separation. I mean, that's they are precisely one and the same. And I mean, this transcends obviously the few years of quantum mechanics. With Buddha, the essence of Buddhism was being in the oneness. Now, that is, if you want to juxtapose that into quantum mechanics, there's your holographic concept. We are all one big hologram. Isn't that the same thing? And many, a few thousand years later, when someone like Jesus Christ said, what you do to the least of mine, you're doing to me. That's because we are all connected. We are all part of the same thing. That is the wave we speak of in physics. And this wave has always existed and always been, you know? The difference between discovering and inventing. And it's always been known. I think that our litany, if you will, our problem in modern times is an absolute separation from our most fundamental knowledge about ourselves. I mean, there are times and there are societies in which this empowerment is what is taught to children. For me, but growing up in South Philadelphia, it was like, you know, the absolute opposite of cause and effect. No two things were related. Everything was you got lucky or you didn't. If something went wrong, which is to say you had bad luck, you go to somebody who can fix it. And if he can't fix it, you're S-O-L, out of luck. And, all right? And this, that's what I was always taught, and everyone I knew was taught the same thing. And when I began to understand the works of Niels Bohr, David Bohm, and all the giants, these huge shoulders on which I stand, you know, I began to go, oh, my God. It's that simple. And, you know, it's funny. There have been so many observations within science that corroborate this, yet it's chosen not to be spoken of. It's almost like some weird family thing kept in the closet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's almost heretical.
Like, people, you know, with all the studies of people with multiple personality disorders. Are you familiar with them? Do you read them by any chance, Michelle?
Oh yeah, MPDs. And you speak. Yeah, if you can speak on that, because you talk about that a bit.
Well, it's real simple. Just think about this one, okay? They noticed that people with these multiple personality disorders, you know, seem to be healthier than most other people. They don't get sick much. And for this, and they asked them, "Is there any reason for that?" After a while, and they said, "Yes. I have one of me, one of my people, watch over, and when an energetic imbalance enters me, that person focuses on it until it heals it, until it's gone." Well, that's a neat trick. On the other hand, I mean, let's face it, if you're a lot of people, you got plenty of time.
Right.
Think about it, all right? So then they began to study them physically. They took one guy, and this is early on in the study, who was a card-carrying diabetic. And they were just monitoring him. And suddenly, during the course of this examination, his blood sugar changed. He became a different personality, whatever you want to say. He became a different person. If we looked with our eyes that aren't that discerning, we wouldn't have seen it, but he became different personality. Wham, his blood sugar changed. He was not diabetic. And all the physicians figured the machine broke and got a new machine. Well, that one was broken too. Either they were all broken or the new guy wasn't diabetic. Now, maybe the new guy had hemorrhoids. Everybody's met a hemorrhoid personality in their lifetime, unfortunately. But that's a different problem. And on and on. And then when he went back to the first personality, in a heartbeat, he was diabetic again. Not in the 120 days it takes to change blood cells, but immediately.
Immediately.
This is over and over and over again. People who change personalities have been known to change eye color routinely.
That's right. I've seen that.
Eye color means something.
I've seen those studies. So in that case, is that personality, is each personality having a different consciousness? coming from a different consciousness?
That's exactly what it is, yes.
Mm.
Precisely. And conscious, the different consciousness means just a whole bunch of things. They have different hereditary diseases. They have different energetic everything. They have different energetic parents. They have different lives. Now, even though perhaps we couldn't look at that guy and see he's different, you know, I remember, by the way, being with a friend who had MDD on a couch, and he shifted, and suddenly this quiet, nice guy, who happens to be a very well-known rock star, became huge and menacing. Wow, look at you. He said, I've heard about that. You know, he said, I feel different. And he went back. But anyway, that's just subjective. I don't know where I was anyway. But, yeah, it's totally a matter
of how
we
could, qualify and quantify that so that, because it's almost like if you conjured up,
that's
okay. Because I've still been trying to figure out how this works. So
well,
in a way,
what
the
I
aim
did was,
okay.
You know, my work is based upon two things, a vision and revelation. The vision, very frankly, I take full credit for. It's mine. I mean, I've had this vision for, look, I'm a geriatric. You know, I'm in my 70s. I've had it for a long time.
Mm.
But the revelation comes from a higher source. It always does, doesn't it?
Yes,
absolutely. And so that's what I figured. If there's a way to quantify, as you said, Michelle, to measure consciousness, then you can find the methodology of changing the frequency of that consciousness, of changing that consciousness. And because my question was, what is the mechanism of healing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was my question. That's where it began. Healing obviously occurs in consciousness. So, fine, let's measure consciousness and see how it can be dealt with. You just in an almost linear fashion, you went into exactly what directed me and what my work, because my work is just a small addition to a huge existent field that existed long before me.
I've been trying to figure out, like, on a kind of everyday living level, what is it actually, how does this AIM program work? Now, when you mentioned with the MPD, the multiple personality disorder, if that person is obviously able to have a different personality, conjure up, create, whatever you want to call a different personality, how that happens, where that happens, you know, there's a lot of studies on that, but nothing yet conclusive. That's another $64 billion question. So if that other personality has a different consciousness that doesn't have these, you know, ailments or isn't sickly or doesn't have these aches and pains or doesn't have the cancer or diabetes, as you used. So in essence, then, with the AIM program, which I want to dive into more with you also on that. What I'm hearing from you, the AIM program, somehow there's some shifting or restructuring that happens in a way that a new personality is created that has a different consciousness?
I think that's perhaps the long-range point of view, Michelle, but in a more microcosmic perspective, it is very simply the world's greatest gadfly. It is the ultimate redundancy, but it's your particular, individual, specific redundancy. Whatever imbalances you, Michelle, have, I don't care who you're surrounded by, your hologram, your picture is what that is, you know. I don't care who surrounds you. You have your own specific imbalances.
Mm-hmm.
You will select whatever imbalances you need to heal. And you will focus 24/7. The redundancy of all redundancies. You will never stop focusing on each thing you need to heal until whatever is healed. Just as, let's say, if you have the frequency of hereditary cancer, and maybe it becomes active and you have cancer, if you focus on whatever balancing frequency, will enable you to heal that cancer. It will be healed to the extent that if after that you have a child, you will not have that imbalance to pass on to that child. It's gone. That's what healing is. And it happens in your consciousness. Your body, the DNA, just follows suit. It's the last thing that happens.
Well, the DNA is the last, right? Because it's coming energetically, right? It's coming.
Because
the DNA is made
up
of the energetic.
Is directed by your consciousness.
Right.
It's just like picture a stack of wood and picture a chainsaw and picture nothing happening because there is no consciousness saying, cut the damn wood.
Mm-hmm.
It is the consciousness of cutting the wood that will make you pick up the saw, cut the wood. And what you deal with is in your consciousness, your everything else about you simply follows suit. And consciousness is the key, and consciousness is the essence of right now. We are in what I consider to be the greatest revolution in human history. And it's the ultimate one, and it's the inevitable one. It's one where we must live according to the dictates of consciousness. That's our only salvation. You always hear these stories about the planet. The planet's going to survive no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it will crash into the sun in several billion years. So what? Who cares? Several billion years? It's okay. I'd say that now.
Exactly. Right.
However,
it is a self-correcting mechanism.
The planet will survive. Our question is, will we survive on it? And that's the question, not it, but us. And we have reached this point by design. There is nothing in the universe that's accidental anyway. We've reached this point, and it begins individually and then becomes collective. And the first thing each of us must do is understand our only salvation is to live in consciousness. And that perception is part of this vast revolution. There was once a line in the sand, and one line was almost everyone in the line were a couple of New Age freaks. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Huggers, or call them what you want.
That's right, tree hugger, yes.
We all know each other. And that line is now a vast gulf.
Very blurry, isn't it?
And people are lining up in far greater numbers. And look at the newspaper, look at the television, anything. It's all about that. Because more and more, your audience is far greater than it used to be. And that's why. Because it's not really because of you, Michelle, or me. It's because of it. Because it is becoming mandatory and fundamental in the consciousness of people.
Well, and I think if people are more awake and aware, we respond to this. That's even what this program is about. That's what you're doing. Responding to that shift in consciousness that says we want more of this, we need more of this reflection. You know, our inventions, our creations are a response to that. I think, in a sense, too, you're developing the AIM program is a response to what was needed or necessary, the direction.
Not in a sense, but absolutely, yes.
Absolutely.
I was chosen, and why? Because I had the vision.
Yeah.
And that's, I just simply say that's the best I can do about with that. But I was chosen, and this is a miracle.
You follow
through.
On
the other hand, miracles occur when they're needed.
Yeah.
A miracle that occurs before its time is just something weird and pointless. A miracle that occurs
now, Stephen,
after
I want to go back to
something.
Right, I want to go back to something that you said that, you know, that we will, you know, 24/7, and that's, you know, basically your AIM program is working, you know, with people, on people, in conjunction with people, 24/7. To a lesser degree, do people do this consciously and subconsciously by drawing certain people into their life to facilitate healing or rebalancing?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, that's a question of your consciousness again. But you pick your own environment in which to flourish or perish.
Mm.
And that's always been the case. And in this, by the way, you might well add an addendum that this healing I'm speaking about, and that's all healing, is not proprietary to the AIM program, to me, or to anyone. Healing is as old as humanity. This is a technology to facilitate healing. So it is a healer, if you will.
Mm.
But that healer simply helps you heal yourself. You must do the healing. And whatever it entails, you must feel, and on and on. But sure. I mean, you know, that consciousness will lead you to situations and away from others, and the unconsciousness will do the opposite. Unconsciousness is separation, and the ultimate separation is the ultimate unconsciousness, and it's called insanity, where your only perception in the world is yourself, as in utterly, totally self-involved.
Which is, again, another form of that fragmentation that we touched upon. We do have a caller, Stephen. So let's... Hello, 901-406. Hello, 901-406. You're on Awakening.
Hi, I'm just listening.
You have a question?
Thank you.
Oh, okay. You had pressed one, so I thought you had a question. Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Welcome to the program. Okay. Okay, so you've got people so fascinated they're not asking a question. They're just listening. That's great.
Either that or they're so bored. I don't know.
Oh, no, no, no. Listen, I got emails afterwards. What was that he was saying about consciousness and light and energy? And I'm like, he's going to be back on. He's going to be back on. So one of the things I want to ask, because if you touch a bit on the AIM program, how that works, and how you use the technology uses a photograph. Does it have to be, and I would imagine it needs to be a current photograph?
No, not in the least. I think the photograph I have at EMC Squared of me, and I was the first person on the program, obviously, and I developed it, so why wouldn't I be first?
Right.
I think mine's probably about 6 or 7 years old, 8 years old, I don't know. And I mean, I developed it a long time before that. That's what I got bored with switching photos after I realized it made no difference. I got tired of it. But if people want to switch their photos, we let them. Sure. Who do I care? It doesn't matter, because that which changes in the photograph is measurable, but not visually. It's that simple. Any more than that diabetic who switched to a different personality, his photograph, if you took it, it would be the same, but there's a vast, vast difference. And the fact that another person whose eye color changed, well, that is visible in a photograph, but not relevant to the fact that his essence is in there. What's more interesting to me is that all of these levels and states of consciousness are present on the AIM program with one picture. The fact that if someone is this guy with diabetes and his picture is taken, the others are present with that same photograph.
And now, what do you mean the others are present?
Pardon me?
What do you mean the others are present?
The guy who doesn't have diabetes or whatever.
Ah.
The other personalities are present. And that puzzles me in a way. But, you know, someday I'll figure it out. Or not. I've had enough people on the program who were MPDs that I was able to check it, and I found that to be the case.
Well, you know what's interesting, see, when you say this, it may be what becomes the more dominant personality is the one that's the most life-enhancing. Somehow when there's enough, perhaps, healing energy or healing tools, maybe that's the one that, you know, in hypnotherapy we call it the competing idea. So maybe the healthy, vital, vibrant.
Well, the theory is that when an MPD heals, he integrates his personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. I mean, you know, it's easy to have all the theories you want. Theories are cheap. But that is what is explained. And I have spoken with several MPD people, and they have said that of me, that they intuitively understand that it's an integration of it all.
Absolutely.
But anyway,
absolutely. What I'm talking about in this case of healing, not necessarily with the MPDs, but if, let's say you're working with somebody and they have, let's say, the cancer trait or diabetes condition.
Yeah, well, cancer is 92% of the world has hereditary cancer. So which means that most likely someone does have that hereditary imbalance.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have, what I'm hearing from you, it doesn't necessarily have to get activated. And maybe it becomes more dormant when on the program, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Number one, whether it's acquired or hereditary, there is nothing that cannot be healed. And once healed, it's gone. It's gone. I'm not talking about the idea of treating something. A physician may cut out something, and perhaps it'll be somewhere else. When you heal something as a frequency, as an imbalance in consciousness, it is gone from you completely. So I don't know if that answered you or not.
Yeah, it does. It does. Okay, gone.
It's not dormant,
I'm becoming predominant. It's actually gone.
Right.
So this ties into, on a soul level, are you saying then, because you said earlier that we choose our imbalances.
Well, that's a long story of me and began with my friend Michael Beckwith.
I know him well, yes.
Early on in our relationship, he was in my office every day. And we were looking one day at all the photographs, which are the holograms, you know. Could be a hair, a drop of blood, it could be a drop of urine. It could be a photograph, it's all the same. The DNA doesn't matter. It's healing is by intention.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at all of the photographs of the kids in his family. I don't know if you know Michael, you know how many little Beckwiths there are.
Yes.
My God, you create villages with them. But but that's a whole other story again. So early on, so I looked at this picture of this kid, you know, this child, and I said, Michael, this little boy has a frequency of both hereditary and active cancer. Mm. They're a little child, you know, and Michael said, where'd that come from? And I looked and I said, told him which parent. He said, Steve, don't be so linear. Which kind of annoyed me. I don't like being linear. You don't call a quantum physicist linear. Call him a jackass. Call him what you want. But just not linear. It's like, don't call me linear. Anything else is fine. So I was kind of annoyed. And he said, okay, let me make it simple for you, Steve. I know about your mathematical abilities. You know, that's a given. But here's something you can't prove or disprove mathematically. My nephew here, he chose his parents. They didn't choose him. That's number one. And number two, everything he inherited from either one of them, he has chosen to inherit. I'm asking you why he chose to come here with this cancer frequency. Now, Michael's not a really dumb guy. I mean, and Michael's one of my closest friends in the world. And so that's a whole different question of which parent. See what I mean? We found that fundamentally the frequency of hereditary cancer is created. There's a causal issue. It's created by the frequency of unconscious and unresolved previously existent bitterness. Now that adds an entire dimension to it. And so Michael, you know, after Mike and I were bickering with each other for a while about my being linear, he said, so this bitterness, it's unconscious. I said, here is how I'm measuring it. It's very, very unconscious. Because there are degrees of consciousness, as we all know. And he said, can you take that bitterness and stick it right there in his face, in his consciousness, make him totally aware of it? I said, yes, I know how to do that. And so we did, and I put it on the AIM program. Well, it now, went crazy from there. Go ahead.
Well, when people come on the program, will they, some of them have things come up, like in a healing, things brought more to their consciousness, more
to
their forefront?
Everyone will have things come up, but it'll be different for each person.
Okay.
That's why I'm always asked, so what can I expect? I don't know. I mean, it's like the rock band, the Who. Who are you? Who? You know, it's what is there about you that you are working like hell to keep down? Because that's what's going to come up. It's what you are struggling with to keep unconscious that will come to the surface. That's the point of it all. And so that's why when we put this in the AIM program, suddenly people were calling up saying, why do I feel so bitter? And, you know, they're like, what, 60,000 people, which isn't much, but it's a cross-reference, cross-section, people on the AIM program. Why do I feel so bitter? And so I told my staff, I don't work the switchboard. I said, tell them they feel bitter because they're bitter. Now they know it. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Well, there's one ingrate who thought it was beautiful. You know that? And then, but then I saw something that really did attract my attention. I had a pretty good idea of the time it takes to heal this versus that versus that. Each thing takes its time. The time it took for these cancer frequencies to heal was, the healing time was reduced monumentally. It was just wham, a fragment of what it had been. Wow. Now, when Michael and I were talking about that, this is when I was in L.A., and he was there at the office every day with my huge computer bag, you know. And we started working on every disease, hereditarily, every disease, and how it came to be and what would accelerate its healing. Yeah, we might take a break and watch the Lakers or something, but then we're right back, you know, working.
So in a sense, it's healing consciousness.
Healing is consciousness, but then so is disease, and so is everything else. Everything is created by consciousness, for better or for worse. If consciousness can create well-being, why would you think it cannot create ill-being?
Well, we are conscious creators. I mean, we are creating by our consciousness. Do you find people on the program tend to start making different choices, more life-enhancing choices? Have you had that?
Absolutely so. Sure. I mean, you come from an entirely different consciousness. Because it's not just cancer versus no cancer. It is a feeling of, let's say, prosperity versus a consciousness of poverty, steeped in or deriving from poverty, and on, and depression versus a positive nature, you know? There's a lot of songs out there. You can, if you choose, sing the blues, but that's not all there is to sing.
Exactly. Now, how do you see this in regards to prayer, using prayer for healing or the self-healing qualities of
faith? I see it as very akin to prayer, but and that's what Michael and I have talked about this a lot. I've talked about this with Wayne Dyer a lot, too. The difference is, I do believe, this is the best basis of a bunch of books by Larry Dossey.
We had him on the program.
Yeah, I believe in he's right about the healing power of prayer. When he first wrote this and, you know, reinventing medicine, they wanted to crucify him. Now they're knocking each other over in an attempt to get him to take an honorary chair in their medical schools. Well, there's your change for you, by the way, Michelle. But, yes, the power of prayer is very real. But suppose you must think of things in terms of it takes what it takes. You can't say, I'm going to use this power of prayer every Sunday from 10 till 12. I like to go to the mid-morning service and on. It takes what it takes. It's like a snake changing its skin. It takes the time it takes. And that therein lies the power and the force of the AIM program. You are compelled to focus in your personal prayer, if you will. You'll forgive the poetry. You are compelled to focus in your personal AIM prayer 24/7. You don't get a break. And the process of healing sometimes can create certain discomforts. The discomfort's not the healing, by the way. Discomfort is the resistance.
Why would you resist something
you've been hiding for how many lifetimes? Sure, you're going to resist. You hit it for a reason. You don't like it. You don't like the bitterness. You don't like the rage. You don't like the whatever it is. But, you know, every bit of you that hides something is part of you that's back there somewhere else struggling to keep something in, hidden in its place. You know what? If you got enough pieces of you back wherever they are, how much left of you is left to be here?
That's right. Well, yeah, and it's actually there are units of consciousness or attention units held back in all these traumas.
That's what I do.
Right?
I measure them.
That's part of it, the traumatic situation. Yeah, okay. Yeah, people don't realize that you're so fragmented with things that are not healed and brought forward and integrated, and that can cause a lot of innervation or a lot of depression, lack of vitality. Now, Stephen, as you're explaining this, so one thing I want to touch upon here, this to me, and you mentioned, you know, the holographic beings we are, the holographic universe. So in essence, what I'm hearing from you, the AIM program not only acknowledges that, but operates from that so that these other, what we call dimensions or aspects of ourselves or consciousness that are always continually awake, aware, are focused on this anyway. So those aspects of us are getting healed or recalibrated, requalified, and that energy is being brought forward or integrated with it within us, the center of us.
You mean when you're on the AIM program or everyone or
yes.
Or what?
Well, I'm seeing now with the AIM program because you said that it's 24/7, so
yeah,
there are parts.
Yeah, that's the case. Yeah, I mean,
right.
You are not given the option of taking a break. You are not. It's very much like this, you know. If what you need to do to heal a given thing, I don't care whether you call it your fundamental depression or your cancer or your this or your that, if what it takes is focusing X amount of time on healing it, you can't say, look, I'm a busy person. I got a radio program. I got this, I got that. I'm going to give you a half hour every morning and one whole day a month. You know what? You can't make bargains with God. The cards you've been dealt aren't good enough to play in that kind of a gambling game. It takes what it takes. And therein lies the power and the strength of the AIM program, because it is incessant, it's unremitting, it's relentless. You know what? It's just, it picture whatever it is that you need and perhaps don't want as being relentless where there's no choice. And you will heal whatever it is to heal, because I say you will heal because it happens to be an instinct. And you can say what you want. Doesn't matter what you say to me or anyone else, your instinct is your instinct. And there is a survival instinct.
And this, I love that. What is that, music?
That's my Skype phone.
Oh, I love the ringer on it. It's nice. Stephen, we have a question from Veronica, and I don't know of this. So she's asking, is this technology similar or different from the purple plates?
Not sure what that is. Neither am I. And you know,
okay.
Let me tell you something. It's kind of interesting. There are so many technologies, spoken of or existent have to do with instrumentation, technologies to help you heal yourself. And when you ask me about the difference for you or Veronica, I don't know everyone's technology, and you know, much of ours, of mine, is proprietary. So I don't second guess other technologies. Tesla. Okay, well, Tesla's a different story. But all I do is look to say, if you're using this technology, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Now, if you're
proof
doing well.
Proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, if you're doing well, you know what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you're doing well, something works. And if you're doing poorly, if you're not doing well, whatever you're doing isn't working. That's the bottom line. And I think whatever anyone does should be subjected to that particular scrutiny, that particular evaluation. Is it working or not? It's that simple. Now, Tesla is a story of something the U.S. must live with in shame.
Yeah.
You know, and however.
We have another question.
Has been lost.
Yeah, and I think some of it too changed a bit as well. So we don't know how much, you know.
It may be, because until it's found, we don't know if it's changed. But
right.
I know that people using Tesla-based instruments are having no effect upon them that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see this as any kind of condemnation of the work of Tesla, but rather the fact that his work was fundamentally destroyed. And people are trying to recreate it. And
right. There we go. Not easy to do. We have another question that came in on email. What about other areas of your life in regards to, prosperity, money? Can these balancing frequencies of AIM work with this at all?
Well, yes, because everything, there is nothing you can name that does not have an energetic footprint, a frequency.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a distinction between something that's simple and something that's a syndrome. I mean, if you have a, let's call it, a poverty attraction in your life, there may be a dozen different things about it that conspire to create that, as opposed to, say, having measles in your life, which is one lousy virus, and there it is. That's not a syndrome. Now, autism is a syndrome, for example. There are a number of markers, and so it's a matter of degree. But there is nothing that does not have its frequency or frequencies. And there is nothing that can't be healed. That's the difference between healing and treating or curing.
You've got that, and that not only faith, belief, but knowing. You can hear that in your voice from using this technology, that there is nothing that can not be healed. You've touched upon this, and I'd like to go a little bit further, because we do have a lot of parents that listen to the program, and if you can touch a bit on the autism
syndrome. Very simple. There are people in my life who I feel have added a great deal to our lives spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
People like Wayne Dyer and Michael Beckwith and a number of others. There are many others. And to these people whom I know who believe in it or who want the AIM program, I've said, look, you know, you talk to a lot of people. If you see someone, it's not expensive, but, you know, that's a relative statement. Someone who really needs this and can't possibly afford it, just give them a scholarship, you know, a Wayne Dyer scholarship or Michael Beckwith or whoever it is, Daniel Brinkley, and, you know, on and on. I just do it, and whatever it is. I said, you know, you've earned that right. And so, and one of them was a little girl, and Wayne called me up. He said, I met this child. She's beautiful, but she's totally, totally without affect. She's autistic. Can you look and see just what this stuff is? I said, well, I can try. Yeah, let me see, Wayne. Well, I found she had two hereditary imbalances that were unknown to humanity. I named them after her, which is what I do. I'm not going to name them Steve. and put them on the AIM program and promptly forgot about it because autism was not in my consciousness until about 6 months or so later when her mother called and said, my daughter is no longer autistic. She's all her caregivers, her physicians say she's just not autistic. I said, great. What I didn't know, Michelle, was we had hundreds and hundreds of kids on the program who were autistic and apparently had these hereditary imbalances, and then the phones began again. Then my child is not autistic. I went, wow, great, amazing. It culminated for me when I was speaking in Melbourne, Australia. And it was a question-and-answer period, which is what I like. You know, what can I tell you? And if I don't know, I'll tell you, I don't know. Because there's so much more I don't know than I do know. So it's inevitable. Mm-hmm. But a little girl walked up and said, can I thank you? I said, yeah, I mean, anybody can thank me. I kind of like it. What's not to like? My mom didn't raise a fool. But thank me for what? She said, well, I couldn't have thanked you a year ago. I was autistic, and I'm not now. Yeah, well, that stopped me, Cole. I couldn't speak at all. Nobody could speak but this kid. Everyone would just inhale deeply. And I took that as a message. I said, that's it. This is a policy for AMC Squared. I just made it. Anyone in whom we find the frequency of autism, if it's there, it's free to them if they want it. You know, if it's a minor child, the parents have to say, yeah, I accept. But that's just the law. But it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of it. Well, there are thousands and thousands of kids on now. And the letters, not the emails, don't take up much room. But the letters are like, it takes up a whole room, the hard letters and the emails. It's just, somebody once said, can you do this with, is this something that the AIM program can help someone cure or someone heal, rather, even I guess, with Down syndrome? I said, I don't think so. It's so structural. You can look and see it. Obviously, you've seen Down syndrome kids.
Yeah.
Some people, yeah. I said, so I don't think so. And I said, the letters came in again. You're wrong. My child is on the AIM program. My child has Down syndrome. Everything about my child has changed. Their faces have leaned out, thinned out. Their body structure has changed. And I get, their glasses don't fit. They're much too big.
Mm.
The whole thing, I went, wow. All right, another sign. Got it. Anyone with the frequency of Down syndrome, it's free. That's all. And so there'll be more things. It's like you got to take care of the kids. That's the future.
That's right.
I mean, I'm a mathematician, but that's not math. I mean, hello. So.
Now we have another couple of questions that come in also, one on Twitter, actually, and two of them. One is about imbalances. Does this address hormonal imbalances, such as thyroid conditions, hyperthyroid conditions, or weight gain?
Sure. I mean, when you say hyperthyroid, yeah, but you have to deal with what is causing this symptom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a symptom is a symptom of what? So, sure, I mean, does it address it? Yes, but I mean, unless you have something causing it that's unknown to either mankind or to us, because there are several thousands of, imbalances, frequencies that I've discovered, basically, or have revealed to me, that are not known medically.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of which are known, are found in almost every human. Now, and they seem to have to do with the capacity with the aging process. So I'm waiting to see just how they do intersect with the aging process. You know, I'm in my 70s, but that's not remarkable. However, if I'm in my 140s, it's going to be noteworthy. But you know what? We'll have to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. I can't speak about it. I can speak about it theoretically, but nobody's impressed by theory.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so.
Now, what about also, we have another Twitter question about animals. Does this help with pets? Actually, that's the pet that had the hypo or hyperthyroid. Are there some imbalances or frequencies that animals have that we do not have?
And vice versa, yes.
I guess.
Absolutely so. I mean, and there are disease frequencies that they can get that we can't get. Right now, on a pillow on my desk is one of my cats, Buster, and he's on a pillow with his paw on my hand, pinning it down, because that's the way he likes to sit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he is capable, well, he's had it, it doesn't matter, but a cat can get feline leukemia and perhaps transition from it. We catch it also, and it doesn't mean anything because it doesn't affect us, and vice versa. They can get HIV, and it's fine, not a problem, because the H stands for human. There is a feline immunodeficiency virus that is fatal to them and not to us. Sure, we're all, you know, each species has its idiosyncrasies and individualities.
Do you have pets that you've put on or animals on the program? Is that possible?
Of course, yes.
Okay.
Wonderful. I mean, everyone I know does. Sure. I mean, my cats are on and Michael Beckwith's are on and of course. Sure. And, and they heal themselves.
Now, I've been putting, because we have a couple of questions in the chat about wanting to check out the technology. So we put, is it energeticmatrix.com, right? Is that the best?
Two websites. It's the same website, either energeticmatrix.com or aimprogram.com.
Okay, or aimprogram.
That's really simple. And there's a toll-free number. And if you want any literature or anything sent to you, no one's going to call you and try and. But if you want to talk to someone, if you want to have stuff sent to you, it's 877-500-3622. And, yeah, the website is aimprogram.com. And there's tons of information, articles there. I've written many articles through there.
Okay. So let's give that number again. The toll-free number for the AIM program is
877-500-3622. Which is EMC.
Ah, okay. And that's aimprogram.com as well. Now, you've been doing this research and creating this technology. What do you see with the life force, you know, energy on the planet right now? Do you feel we're going in a direction where there's getting more? Some people say there's more consciousness on the planet, or is there a dropping, or are we becoming more?
This is a revolution.
Wow, okay.
And just as was true of, let's say, even a relatively minor revolution, like the Ice Age, many species will not prevail, endure, and do well. That's why the only dinosaur left is Barney.
Yes, exactly.
Okay? But other species do well. With this, I think the message is, if you don't choose to live in a higher consciousness, again, understanding that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
We're connected. If you choose not to, you will not. This is your survival. Right now, let's put it this way. Life force is something I've measured for, let's say, 25 years. It's the degree to which you can heal whatever it is you have. It's your regenerative capacity, if you will. It used to be at the average on a scale of 100 was 95 to 99.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by the time guys like Wayne Dyer and Michael Beckwith and many others got on, their life force was down to the upper 60s. And that was the average. Mm-hmm. And I was concerned. Mm-hmm. The life force is now, on the average, somewhere around 0.001 and dropping. That's less than 1. I expect this to be the primary story in the right-hand column on page 1 of every newspaper shortly. By shortly, I don't mean in a decade. I mean shortly, in a week, a month, a couple of weeks, maybe a month, month and a half. That's shortly. It's that low.
Wow.
And that is why I am still working. As I said, I'm old. You know, I've been very successful chronologically, yeah. You know, I get my Social Security and all that stuff. I've been working very hard for a long time and very successfully. I was in practice. You've heard me say it before, I believe, Michelle.
Yes.
The waiting period
for
a new patient was about 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I was working too much then. So, you know, I thought my whatever problem I have, it ain't laziness. But,
now, Stephen, we have a program.
I don't
feel
ethically I can stop.
Right, right. Well, you're impassioned. There's a mission
we're
here.
We're both
messengers. Exactly, the
messenger. And a messenger delivers his message and moves on. I don't sit and look to see who is listening, who is not. I deliver the message and move on. That's what I'm doing.
And we have a question from Tammy. Just the top three. What life-enhancing or balancing techniques do you do? Do you personally follow daily?
Oh, personally? Well, first of all, you know, I get distracted. I need to reconnect. So every single day, I take a break and meditate. And I don't chant. I mean, for me personally, chanting words or something in a language I don't speak seems kind of pointless. You know, but if it works for someone, that's cool. But I take about a half hour, meditate, and focus on my connection to everyone and everything. And it grounds me. I do that every single day. Other than that, you know, I mean, I exercise moderately, you know, I mean, and I'm conscious of my diet, which means I do have, you know, wine with dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't sit down and drink a fifth of bourbon.
Right.
Okay? This is what I do for it. Because there's a guy once named Richard Condon who wrote a book called Any God Will Do. And it's kind of interesting because Condon wrote The Manchurian Candidate, a lot of books.
Yeah.
But and he wrote, interest is the key to life. Interest is the clue. Interest is the drum and fife, and any God will do. I stay, my vitality, yeah, I exercise a little, I watch my diet, I meditate, but my focus on life is the primary thing that I attribute whatever I am to be in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like, too, with knowing that you have this, you know, higher purpose and following through on that, and I like to say answering the call, I would think that also is very vitalizing and revitalizing, that it brings in more life force energy.
Absolutely.
Even if you, right? Even
that
if you say you're
greatest,
overworking.
That's my greatest blessing. You know, I'm not complaining. I'm just, you know, I'm not complaining, but that is the blessing for which I am most grateful. I'm able to spend my life working at what is essentially my passion. And furthermore, in so doing, able to help people by doing it. I mean, that is like, how many people are able to say thank you for exactly that? It's not that common, unfortunately. It should be, but it's not. And
it should be.
I am beyond any words as far as my degree of gratitude for that.
Well, I know I'm glad, and I know our listener participants are very glad that you embarked upon this path, that you answered the call, because it's such a wonderful technology, you know, that everyone can partake of. So it's just wonderful that you answered. A lot of people don't answer, or they answer a little, and then they put the call on, you know, they put voicemail on. So that's great that you're doing
well,
that.
Well, for all of us, someday we won't put it on hold. It's like whatever day that is when it is, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, I seem to recall, and I don't know if I read it somewhere.
I believe in reincarnation, so that helps, but go ahead.
That helps. Your nurse is the connection. Do you feel, and Tammy's asking, that your work is also a connection for you, or connects you to that, to all that is, if you will?
Well, but anyone's work is if they perceive it being an interaction with life.
Mm.
You know, if they perceive it's something other than living and dying before a mirror.
Mm.
Yes, I mean, it's that simple. Our work should make us more part of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, again, what consciousness is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And again, it's that connecting the dots. I think some of the descriptions that your definitions you've given us have been just, I think, not just important, but I think are going to be very transformative for people, because it's getting them out of the box of what this is. Even what you said earlier at the top of the program, that energy is, it just is. You know, and
you just hit on something yourself, you know, Michelle.
Mm.
You speak about you when you said connecting the dots. Look, are you familiar with chaos theory?
Yes, the
chaos theory states that there ain't no such thing as chaos. Everything is in order. But there's a catch. There's always a catch, isn't there?
Right.
The catch is,
yes.
Are you good enough? You have good enough vision to see the order. So this is to say, is your hologram great enough, complete enough, that you can see your connection to everyone and everything? And if so, there's going to be a lot of churches named after you. I can guarantee you that, as there should be, because you are a spiritual leader. But for most people, it's like connecting the dots. You can connect all the dots that you see, but if your vision, your scope, is narrow and tunneled enough, there are countless dots on either side of what you see that you can't connect because you don't see them yet.
Yeah.
Let me propose a toast to us seeing more dots.
Yes.
That simple.
Yes. And that brings more consciousness, right?
The dots are consciousness.
I love it. I love it. And I have loved this time with you, Stephen. This has been just not just thought-provoking, but it's just relayed some wonderful energy for all of us with your insight and your understanding and the gift of the AIM program that you developed. So I really want to thank you for being on the program.
And I'm privileged to have you have me on the program. I thank you for that. I mean, let me deliver my message, and that's what you're doing.
Yeah, and so needed. And again, for those that are listening, because we have it in the chat, the website for more information on the AIM program is simply go to the aimprogram.com, aimprogram.com. And then what was that
phone number?
Number again? Yes.
It's 877-500-3622. 877-500-EMCC.
Okay. So we've got it visually, and those that are listening auditorily only, you've got it there. www.aimprogram.com and the number 877-500-3622. And I love that toast. Here's to more connection by connecting the dots.
Yep.
Thanks so much, Dr. Stephen Lewis.
No, not Dr., just Steve.
Steve, okay. Thank
you,
Steve.
That's all I am now. That's all I want.
Okay.
Thank you so much,
all
Michelle.
Right. All right. Well, you have a beautiful day, and you're welcome anytime back on the program. It's always such a treasure to have you on. So thank you again.
Unequivocally, okay. I accept.
Wonderful. Okay. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, such wonderful information and sharing. Again, we were speaking with Stephen Lewis of the AIM program, and that's aimprogram.com, and also a wonderful novel that he co-authored, Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness. The novel is about consciousness. So as usual, it's great to connect with all of you. This has just been a wonderful program today. All of them are wonderful, but all wonderful in their own way. Again, please keep those emails coming, how and where you listen to Awakenings. Let me know. Awakenings@selfandlight.com. That's the email. How and where you listen to Awakenings. And how are you transforming your life? I want to hear this. How is Awakenings supporting you, helping you, assisting you? Would you like to be on Awakenings? Do you have a show idea or a topic idea or a focus you'd like us to emphasize and focus on? And that's also at awakenings@selfandlight.com. That'll get the information to me. So blessed. It's a wonderful time of Easter, a time of renewal. We've got the new moon happening. We had the full moon. We've got the new moon coming up shortly, and we've got the initiation of new beginnings of moving into Aries, this wonderful time of springtime and renewal. So I thank all of you for hearing the call. And as Stephen Lewis had said, here is to more connecting to the dots. I agree. So until next time, continue to share your insight, shine your light, and keep awake. And we're going to end with a little Breathe by Urban Myth Club. Awakenings airs every Wednesday and Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Connect with us on Facebook at the Awakenings Radio page. And you get more information at awakenings@selfandlight.com. We're going to selfandlight.com, the website. Okay.